الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمته حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. With the coming of this season of spring, then we would find the usual pattern of weather, that where rain would become more frequent. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of rain in the Quran Majeed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it in different ayat, in different places of the Quran Majeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents it as a great sign of His Qudrat and His power. That many a times it happens such that we experience that rain and we enjoy the benefit of that rain. But we fail to ponder and reflect over the power and the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within that rain itself. And together with this being a great sign of the Qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses this rain, as explained in the ayah that I have just recited, as a sign or as a proof for the day of Qiyamah and the resurrection that would take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayah that وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Zat and that being who first sends those winds prior to the rain that comes. And this rain, this wind then signals a good news to more especially the farmers and those who rely on that rain. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bushra, that it is a signal of good news for them, that now they will receive that rain that they were anticipating and that they were hoping for. And then with that wind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the clouds to gather until they become heavily laden, sahaban thiqalan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is such and His system is such that it's not where the clouds gather that it will rain, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides where to send those clouds and how much of rain to send down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ, that now we then send those clouds to a barren land, to a dead place, a place that was totally parched over a period of time, that where there was no sign of any growth of vegetation whatsoever. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that through this rain that then falls, then we extract all kinds of crops, all kinds of plants from there. So just in this rain itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a great sign of His Qudrat and His power. But more important, or equally important than that, is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights thereafter, that كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى, that in the like way, in the like manner, will we take out the dead from the ground on the day of Qiyamah. That land was totally parched, it was barren, it was dry. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that rain to fall, filled with that, and whatever was required for growth to come within that barren land. And then within a short space of time, that greenery began flourishing and sprouting out from that ground. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look and ponder and reflect over this. That land was as if dead. It was as if a dead body. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that rain to fall. And with the falling of that rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that land to become alive once again. So death and life is the same. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to die. But then when the time of Qiyamah comes, just as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts life within that ground and within that earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us back to life on the day of Qiyamah. But many a times it happens such that on account of us being overwhelmed and over engrossed with our worldly occupations, that we tend to forget the life of the hereafter. That though it is part of our belief system that we have all recited the kalima, we have all recited the iman-e-mujmal and iman-e-mufassal, that where we express our faith in the fact that wal-yawm al-akhir, that we bring iman in the last day, on the day of Qiyamah. But the fact is that this should not just be something in that we tend to just realize after a long period of time. But rather death and life after death should be something that we should be pondering and reflecting over daily. For as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Qur'an Majeed, that this worldly life that we currently experience, that this is just a deception. The true life is the life that is still to come. So what we really need to live for is not for this life. What we really need to live for is the life of the Akhirah. That وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, that the life of the hereafter, that is the true life that we need to live for. But in order to live for that life, we will have to then utilize our time, our resources, and whatever assets we have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when we really wake up alive on the day of Qiyamah, then we will have an easy passage into Jannah. We will be able to enjoy the everlasting bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perpetually and forever without any difficulty and without any hardship. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that on the day of Qiyamah, when there would be no shade besides the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when people would be drowning in their own perspiration and sweat, that way in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that for some their perspiration would collect until it would reach up to their ankles, for some up to their shins, for some up to their hips, for some up to their chest, and for some even up to their ears, that they will be as if drowning in their own perspiration and sweat. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ, that there would be those seven groups of people on the day of Qiyamah who will be saved from such torment and such difficulty on the day of Qiyamah. That they will be granted a special position, a special place under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shade of Allah. And who are those seven people? That for them to get that place of that shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, it would be important and necessary for them to utilize themselves in this world correctly, to utilize their resources, their energies, their assets for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And then only will one be able to get a place under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted the seven categories of people. That the first being Imamun Adil, that ruler who is just, who practices equality and justice, that there is no oppression that he commits, that he always sees to it that every decision of his is totally fair, that there is no injustice that is committed whatsoever. And when we look at the lives of the Khulafa'i Rashideen and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, who were given these positions of leadership, then they were clear life examples for us to understand what is meant by Imamun Adil, by a person who is, by a leader who is totally just, who does not oppress his subjects and those that are under him. That when we look at the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that there were so many examples that were portrayed within his life, that way he did not want the least amount of oppression or even inconvenience to be committed by himself. That on one occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, as he was walking through the streets of Madinah Munawwara, so he came across a young man speaking to a young woman. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala an felt to himself that now by this person speaking to this young woman in public, that this goes against the dictates of haya and shame and modesty. That he should be speaking to us discreetly somewhere where people will not see him. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, as was his nature, extremely firm. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had his whip in his hand and he struck this person once. And then he reprimanded this person. So this person then responded and told Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that I am not a resident of Madinah Munawwara and this is my wife and both of us just entered Madinah Munawwara now. And we were just discussing amongst ourselves that where should we stay for the duration of our stay in Madinah Munawwara. And it was nothing else and she is my wife. So immediately Umar radiallahu ta'ala an realized that he had misjudged and it was his miscalculation that he immediately, without verifying and asking what was the reason for him standing on the side of the road. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was overwhelmed with the fear and the realization of the day of Qiyamah. And immediately he took that whip and told that person that now take this whip and strike me like how I had struck you. For I do not want to be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah. And then this person responded and told Umar radiallahu ta'ala an that I forgive you. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala an pleaded with this person twice or thrice. And then eventually when this person refused to take that whip into his hand, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an then asked him that now forgive me for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't take me to task on the day of Qiyamah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was a clear reflection of what is meant by Imamun Adil. That immediately, that even though it was a misjudgment from his side, but immediately he undertook measures to undo the wrong that had been committed. And then the next, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that washabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah, that youngster who spends his youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you speak of obedience, it does not mean that that youngster needs to be all the time engaged in dua, in istighfar, or in dhikr, etc. But rather that youngster should live his life such that he stays away from any act that will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands and he values the youth that he has granted such people. For this age of youth is such that a person is full of energy, he is bubbling with energy. And a person is able to do whatever he wants. That at the time of youth, a person does not think twice. Immediately a person wants to just rush forward and fulfill whatever his desires are. But here when that youngster understands that now I have my Allah to obey, that I will have to fulfill the dictates of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this endeavor and this effort that is made by this youngster. In one narration, it appears Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained that ashabu taqi, that young pious person is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than an elderly person who has the taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the reason is quite obvious, that old person now when he changes his life and he becomes pious, he adopts taqwa, then this is after a lengthy period of time, he has experienced life, he has gone through all the various stages of life, and he has understood the true purpose of life. So now he instills within himself the quality of taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So though he is greatly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but more than that is that youngster who exercises that taqwa, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For despite all the odds that go against him, and despite the environment that is going against him, he still restrains himself and practices that taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really appreciates him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that special position to that youngster who spent his youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why a specific question will also be asked from each and every person on the day of Qiyamah. That how did you spend your youth? That apart from being questioned regarding one's life in general, this will be a specific question. That way in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained that there would be those five questions that each person would need to respond to and answer to. And one of them would be with regards to his youth, that how did you spend your youth? And then the third person whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, regarding whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant a special place under his arsh on the day of Qiyamah, that وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, that a person whose heart is always attached to the masjid. That for most people it is not possible to remain all the time in the masjid. A person will have to go out into the world, earn a living. A person will have to attend to different chores and to different occupations. But if a person's heart is always attached to the masjid, then this is a sign that this person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For when his heart is close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely his heart would be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That when you would love the house of a person, then that is a sign that you love the owner of that house. So when a person's heart is attached to the masjid, then this is a sign that this person is also a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person frequents the masjid, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted in a hadith that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum that when you see a person frequenting the masjid, يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ, then testify that such a person has the true iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is a sign of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person is always attached to the masjid. And this should be the outlook of a Muslim. That like how they say that a Muslim should be such that in the masjid he is like a fish in water, and out of the masjid he should be like a fish out of water. That his heart is always longing and pining to come back to the masjid to perform that salah. And that is why in one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also highlighted the great reward for that person waiting for salah. That waiting for salah is again an act that is greatly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fourth person, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, that warajulan, two people, tahabba fillah, that they love each another only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the relationship that they have with each another is solely and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ijtama'a wa tafarraqa alayh, that whenever they meet and whenever they part, then it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it isn't for the sake of any material wealth, any worldly relationship that they have. But it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alayhi wa sallam has explained that on the day of Qiyamah there would be such people whom the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and even the Shuhada will be envious of. So the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man hum, that who are these people? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that they would be those people who love each another only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them elevated positions full of noor. Their faces would be shining with noor. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even explained, ala manabir min misk, that they will be seated on mimbars and mounds made of musk. And these are just those people who love each another only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whether it is the love that you have for your ustad, or whether it is for the imam in your masjid, or whether it is for your dini senior that you have, it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you love him And it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take his advice. So such people will be granted a special shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And then very quickly the remaining three, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, that the fifth person is that person that وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That a person was invited towards wrong by a woman of worldly status and extreme beauty. So despite her being charming, having everything that would attract a person, but this person replies and says that إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So despite being on the brink of committing that zina, fulfilling his desires, but he is overwhelmed by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he restrains himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant such a person as well that special shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And then the sixth, that وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ, that a person who spends some charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَخْفَاهَا, but he does it very discreetly, حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ, and so discreetly he does it that his left hand does not even know what his right hand is spending. Meaning that he does it with such sincerity that he doesn't want any kind of name and fame, that nobody should know what I am doing. That there were many of the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were late at night, in the dark of the night, they would go out seeking the poor in their vicinity and in their places where they stayed. And very discreetly, without even identifying themselves, they would go out and hand out assistance to those needy and poor people. And only upon the death of these great awliya, then would people then realize that it was this great wali who would come to our doors at night and render some form of assistance, bring some money or bring some food to us. And it was not known to the rest of the people, and not even to the recipients. And then the last, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, that a person who in total privacy remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then out of that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins shedding those tears, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really appreciates those tears that a person sheds. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained two eyes that are greatly loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That eye that stood awake at night guarding the Muslims, and that eye that shed those tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person works himself, utilizes his resources and his energies as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, whilst he is living in this world, then on the day of Qiyamah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with these special privileges to be granted that shade on the day of Qiyamah under his arsh. So just to go very quickly through these seven groups of people, that first is the just leader who always practices equality and justice. And then the second is that youngster who spends his youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third is that person whose heart is always attached to the masjid. The fourth are those two people who have a relationship only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth is that person who is invited to commit evil by a woman who has worldly status and extreme beauty, but then he is overwhelmed by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he backs off and he tells her that إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth is that person who spends charity so discreetly that his left hand does not even know what his right hand is spending. And the seventh is that person who in total privacy remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he sheds tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of becoming embodiments of these great qualities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.